Good evening. Turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John. We'll read the first 10 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find a pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Our Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. May we pray. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word will give light. We thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to pierce, O Lord. It is a discerner. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of our hearts. Your word, O Lord, is able to convert, the psalmist could say. And Lord, we pray tonight that you by your spirit and through the power of your word, indeed will convert, will speak to hearts. Because again, we acknowledge that it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to emphasize verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Our Lord used common experiences as vehicles for communicating great truths about God. And John, in writing the fourth gospel, which is evangelistic in content, John selected a few events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, along with a variety of his teachings, to communicate great truths about God. And so it was no accident that John described the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Because as John saw it, and as through the eyes of the Lord Jesus, he was reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ was a dispeller of darkness. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Light in the Word of God speaks of and represents truth and holiness. Darkness in the Word of God speaks of ignorance and evil. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came that he might be the truth that men needed. That men might realize that in being with him like Peter did, when Peter had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, said, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. The Bible said that men love the darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. And the Lord Jesus came to let men see how evil they were, but also to demonstrate that through him, if they could enter into the pure light of God and experience the forgiveness of God. And if you're here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know that although you might be in darkness, You can come out of darkness and you can bask in him who is the light. John also speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Logos, the Word of God. And emphasizing this truth, John was emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the very mind of God, the very language of God, the very conversation of God. That Jesus Christ was God incarnate. He was and is the Logos. He is the pure Word of God. The Jews understood what he meant when he says he was the Word of God. Their concept that the Word of God speaks of power. That when God spoke the Word, everything came into being. So to the Jewish mind, when John says that Jesus is the Logos, immediately the mind thought about was power. To the Greek, their mind, or to the Greek, they were into philosophy. And so when they heard the word Logos or Word, they thought of a concept. They thought of an idea. You remember on Mars Hill when Paul came and he was sharing the word, talking about the resurrection. They came together. They wanted to hear this new thought, this new truth, this new idea that this Jew was propagating. They were into philosophy. Anything that would tickle their fancy, they wanted to hear it. For the Church of Jesus Christ, when we hear word, we think of the gospel. We think of proclamation. Not just power and philosophy, but to proclaim the good news. But here John in his gospel says, the word is a person. It is personified. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the embodiment of truth. He is the truth, the word of God. He is the Logos. But John also speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ as being the bread of God. Jesus says, I am the living bread. I am the bread from heaven. I am the one who can meet the saddest, I can fulfill the greatest need of man. There are people today, and maybe you are here tonight. There's a longing in your heart. There's a spiritual hunger. You've tried everything else. You've tried pleasure. You try maybe enjoying and trying to make fun or money or wealth. And those things don't seem to fulfill you. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the bread from heaven. And no matter what you try to enjoy, to fulfill your life, you will never find fulfillment apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can fulfill you. He is the bread from heaven. He is the living bread. John speaks about Lord Jesus Christ as the water of life. You want to quench your thirst? Jesus Christ is the one who can do that. The Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And when we come to John chapter 10, John describes the Lord Jesus Christ in two specific ways in the first few verses that we read in your hearing. He is seen as the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who gathers his flock. The Bible tells us this in verse 16. He is the good shepherd who guides or who guards his flock, who guides his flock. But he's also the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Jesus said that in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But in the midst of his explaining and sharing about he is the good shepherd, the Bible says in verse 9, Jesus says, I am not only the good shepherd, I am the door. I am the door. He is the door to the sheepfold. And this figure of speech was not strange to those who were listening, especially those who might have been shepherds there. The sheepfold was an enclosure in which the sheep were brought in together at night for protection from their natural enemies. The shepherd took the sheep out and he brought them back in. And during the time he brought them back in, he would lay across the doorway. And so in order for anyone to get in at his sheep, they had to cross over the shepherd. In order for the sheep to get out, they had to pass over the shepherd. And so our Lord Jesus was declaring himself to be the way of entrance at the same time, saying he provides security for those who enter into him. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the door. And I want to suggest to you, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the door to salvation. Note what our text says in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, I am the door. And maybe for many Jews standing around and hearing that, they understood. Because maybe their mind went back to the temple or even further back to the tabernacle. As God instructed Moses to establish and to build a unique building in the midst of the wilderness. And Moses, as God gave him the instructions on the mountain, the blueprint to build this tabernacle. And all that it contains, all of its instruments, all of the precious things, and set it all up. There was one entrance into the tabernacle. There wasn't two. There wasn't a front door. There wasn't a back door. There was one entrance. And Jesus was proclaiming to them, if you want to get to the Father, if you want to experience the forgiveness and the cleansing from sin, if you want to be able to enjoy God's presence and God's power and God's blessing in your life, he was saying, I am the way into that. I am the door. And sad to say, there are many people today, and maybe you are here tonight, thinking that going to church, maybe just reading your Bible, maybe giving tithes or singing in the choir, or just living a very good life will get you in. But the Bible says, Jesus says, no. He says, I am the door. He says, if you want to experience forgiveness of sin, if you want to experience God's life, he says, if you want to be saved from the penalty and from the power of sin in your life, he says, I am the door. There are many people today who want to be saved, but they don't want to be saved through Jesus Christ. There are those who say there are many roads that leads to God, but Jesus says, no, there isn't. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul said, neither is there salvation. Or Paul said, there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Again, Peter, as he stood before those Jewish leaders, says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And the reason simply being, Jesus is the only one who died for your sins and for my sins. He is the only one who qualified. He is the only one who had a virgin birth. He is the only one whom Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He is the only one who could stand up and say, which of you convinced me of sin? He is the only one who could be declared the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ says, if you want to be saved, you have to come through me. Not through Muhammad, not through Buddha, not through Haile Selassie, not through anything or anyone. He says, I am the door. He says, I am the way to salvation. I am the way to experience peace with God. He says, I am the door. My friend, have you entered the door of salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal savior? Have you experienced your forgiveness? Because he's the one who died. Not for himself. Because the Bible says he knew no sin. He did no sin. Neither was there any guile found in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that he was offered for our offenses. But he was raised again that you and I might be declared righteous by God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did that. He is the way. He said, you want to be saved? I am the door. I am the door. There is no other way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door to salvation. He says, I am the door by if any man will enter in, he shall be saved. I like that. There is no if and buts. There is no may. He said, you shall be. That's how confident he was and how confident we are, the fact that when you trust Jesus Christ, immediately the Bible said that you are passed from death unto life. You are transferred from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of life, into the, out of the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Saved. What does saved mean? Saved means that you enter into a new relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came. You see, this whole idea that Jesus came to let us go to heaven, that's part of it. That we might have eternal life, yes. That we'd be a part of his body and his church, yes. But Jesus came that we might have a relationship with the Father. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that's it. That you and I might have an intimate relationship with the Father. Because if we go back to the analogy and the example of the Old Testament and the tabernacle, only the high priest was able to go into the holiest of holies, into the presence of the most holy God, but once a year to offer up for sins for the people. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, the word of God says. Now the entrance is made that now we can go into the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ brings about salvation from power, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, but really that we might have a relationship with the God of heaven, that we might know him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door to that. I am the door to that. I am the entrance to salvation. My friend, have you experienced that in your life? Tonight you can. We're going to challenge you in a little bit to do that. He is the door to salvation. He said, you will be saved. Not only for time, but for all eternity. And you know, one of the best verses to confirm this in my heart and the hearts of you who are sitting here is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but that it may have everlasting life. And ever means everlasting. Everlasting. And I praise God for that. But I must hasten on. Christ knowing the door to salvation. Christ is the door to real security. He says in the text, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he should be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He will go in and out and find pasture. To be able to go in and out is to be able to move about in an environment of absolute freedom. Absolute security. You think an Israeli is feel that way tonight? You think an Israeli, a Jew in Jerusalem or any part of Jerusalem feels safe that they can go in and out tonight? Interesting that Brother Billy Aubrey is here tonight from Shirley Heights. He picked me up from the airport last month, drove me to the apartment there at Shirley Heights. They took me upstairs in the back of there. If you've ever been there, he took me from the back there and opened the door, two deadbolts. Close the door behind me, two deadbolts. Open the next door that goes into the apartment, two deadbolts. But when we got inside and he closed the door, there were only two deadbolts on the inside. There were two to the top, two to the bottom, and everything else. Security. I felt secured. And the buzzword in the world today is security. And you travel a lot here. When you go to the airports, some people have to take off their shoes and their socks. You have to go through all of these machines, even Nassau International Airport in the domestic section, yesterday coming through. They even took my ticket. Security is the buzzword today. And so we have it. And some of us are like liners. We are going about Lucy's brother from the painted Charlie Brown cartoon, our security blanket. Without that security blanket, Linus was lost. Some of us are like the businessman and the businesswoman with our accounts and stock portfolio. Without them, we are lost. We feel insecure. Some people are like the college student without education. They feel lost. Complete inadequacy. Many people are trying to buy million, 2 million, 3 million insurance. Why? They want to have security. It's interesting to find that after the national football championship in the college ranks, the Miami Hurricanes running back injured himself, but it was found out that 2 weeks before the game, he put out insurance on his legs.